reality. Prayer through adversity. And we're experiencing some adversity. Poor Thomas got in a car wreck this morning. Brother Levi hurt his wrist acting youthful last night. And Brother Ivan, not well. Okay, he's still having a sick to his stomach problems. And we want to pray. Amen. In Jesus' name for these three. We usually pray at the end of Sunday school, and that's good. We'll continue to do that. But these particular ones, we want the Lord to intervene. Amen. His hand and his blessing to minister. We're thankful Thomas is okay. He's here. But the car is not okay. And I'm sure tomorrow he'll feel the effects of it a little bit stronger. But let's pray. Jesus, we are so thankful that we can look to you in spite of adversity and in times of adversity. We know, Lord, you're the Almighty. And we pray, oh God, that your hand would continue to minister. Thank you for your protection on Thomas. Thank you for keeping him and watching over him now. I pray, Lord, let there be no adverse effects. I pray, Jesus, that you would cover him with your precious blood. Help Brother Levi, Lord, and touch his wrist, God. Let the swelling go down. Let the pain diminish. I pray, oh God, that your hand would be upon him. Touch Brother Ivan, oh God. Help him now, Lord, as he's experiencing this sickness, this problem. Lord, you know the answer. And God, your hand upon his body can minister to the needs. Jesus, in your mighty name, undertake now, God, for these suffering adversity. Father, we ask you, Lord, your blessing and strength now. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. I like the focus verse in particular here from Isaiah 25. Most of our passage will be from Habakkuk and his short book of prophecy. But Isaiah 25 and 1, O Lord, thou art my God. I'm very similar to the Psalms and the strong, direct statement of connection with God. Thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. And praise God. What a amen we can say to that. Thank the Lord for the help that we're able to receive in the blessings of the Lord. Amen. And then the focus thought brings out how prayer, praise, and worship. That's what we render to the Lord for all of the blessings he's given to us, isn't it? Prayer, praise, and worship help a believer achieve victory in the midst of suffering and adversity. Amen. And Habakkuk makes his statements, his lamentations, his situations proclaiming concerning Israel. And talk about adversity. Israel really, really had a bad case of ups and downs, more so than any roller coaster ride or any kind of situation that we can describe. But oh my, what an amazing description of God's faithfulness through every difficulty, through every pain, through every challenge. The Lord has been there. The little article that is featured at the beginning of the lesson makes mention of a book, and or an article rather, an article that is entitled "How to Be at Your Best When Life is at Its Worst." Now, you are the writer of that article, and I want you to give one sentence that sums up that proposition, how to be at your best when life is at your worst. I'll give you time to think about that. When we think of Stephen, we studied him last Sunday and the forgiveness that he prayed. Talk about adversity. Here he is trying to share truth, trying to build on the foundation of Hebrew history and move into the power of the Lord and the blessing of the Holy Ghost, the miracles and signs and wonders that God is doing. And he's speaking to a stiff-necked, stubborn, rebellious bunch of people who don't believe at all what he's saying. And then the adversity worsens to where his life is beaten out of him as multiple stones cover his body. And yet he prays, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Talk about a strong stand in the face of adversity. That's pretty amazing. Even though it turned deadly, he did not say, wait, I apologize. You know, to use the phrase that is so common now, I'll walk back on that stand, that statement. Politicians are always walking back what they say, and different ones that are making controversial statements and being challenged by it. And it almost seems like, well, I better not get into the press and the political situations and our president and all of that. Let me get back to the question, or the statement rather. How to be at your best when life is at its worst? What's your sentence?
I have to remind myself that the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Okay. Nehemiah 8 and 10, very, very positive scripture, because we know Nehemiah's situation was not ideal. He had a lot of pluses, a lot of things going, but oh man, a huge challenge to rebuild the walls, the temple, and Jerusalem, and the joy of the Lord being that strength. Good. Sister Esther. Okay, so prayer and commitment. Understanding, Lord, your will be done. And along with that, that joy, and then remembering the promise of the scripture, like I think it's Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Sorrow comes from sometimes poor decisions. Sorrow comes from our bodies not being eternal, at least here. It comes from sickness, comes from a whole bunch of things, but not from the Lord. He's the one who brings us through. Amen. All right?
Don't lose your trust in God, and don't doubt he's going to bring you out.
All right. Keep trusting. Doubt your doubts. Hold on to the power that the Lord is going to reveal in His time. And thank God we can trust the Lord. Any other comments, Brother Rick? All right, to keep in balance, this is temporary. What I'm holding on to is eternal, and to recognize that's true. And Paul made mention of light affliction, and I think, wow, that's quite an understatement. But he was comparing the eternal weight of glory and the light affliction that he was being subjected to. And thank God that that's what we can keep in mind. Amen. Any others? Brother Alex.
I think that the Lord is in control and we are in his hands.
All right. We let him remain on the throne. He's king. And we let him be in charge. And, I think in charge of our reaction is probably the key there as well. And, 'cause things are going to come. Things are going to happen, unfortunately. But how we react to that is how the Lord can direct us. Amen. Sister Maria. Say again. Amen. And that's what we see Habakkuk doing. It always amazes me to read the end of Habakkuk's book and how he qualifies if nothing is going right. And that's basically what he's talking about. There's no crops, there's no flocks, there's no provision, there's no profit, nothing is going right. I'm still going to worship. I'm still going to praise. And that's basically what the message is today in terms of how to get through adversity and difficulty and understand God's blessings will be there as we continue to pray, continue to hold on, continue to do the work of God. Now, understanding what we cannot change, what we cannot control, I think is very important too. We're beating our head against the wall and trying to change circumstances that there's no changing it. I mean, the sun is going to come up and it's going to go down. You're not going to change that. That's kind of an odd example there, but weather, the wind, icy roads. You know, the time of the year, you got to be careful. I was saddened to see the paper this morning that two fatalities at the turnoff by Hope, and that part of the highway does not get sunshine. And it's slick there. And two people died in a head-on collision. This time of the year, you've got to be extra careful. You've got to allow yourself extra time when you're traveling on the road. I mean, it's just a simple thing. And so, our planning and our all of our situations, you know, just be extra careful. Not paranoid, not afraid to step outside your door and all of that sort of thing, but just being aware you've got to plan ahead. Was somebody's hand up over here? Oh, okay, seeing things out of the corner of my eye. The Lord's promise, I am with you always. Very thankful that's the way he ended his life, and he began his life with the name Emmanuel, God with us. Keep in mind, God's with you, God's for you, God can be in you, and we'll keep on going. Praise God. Right. Romans chapter 8, 35 through 39. And notice Paul said, I am persuaded. He wasn't just giving a list of circumstances, events, entities that could possibly throw you for a loop. And some of them probably could. But he's persuaded none of these things are going to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And that's what we need to be persuaded about. Praise God. And the more situations you face, the more you come through storms and trials and trouble, the more you witness the faithfulness of God, the more you're going to trust Him. And the stronger your foundation becomes. And that's why the necessity of counting your blessings and so on, not counting your troubles, but counting your blessings, help us to recognize the Lord and His power will be there to provide for us. Because His perfection is what we put our trust in. His perfect love. And we know the scripture tells us perfect love casts out fear. Oh boy. That scripture goes on to say fear hath torment. And we know how tormenting fear can be. But the Lord provides for us and ministers to us. Praise God. The disciples in the boat, and they're rowing and rowing hard, and the wind is contrary to them, and it's dark, it's night. And they're trying to get across like the Lord directed them to do. He's not with them. He went up into the mountain to pray. And then all of a sudden, they see something where it shouldn't be. There shouldn't be something walking on the water, whether it's man or beast. And they cry out in fear because they don't know what it is. But the Lord says, be of good cheer. Be not afraid. It is I. Oh, I'm thankful we can hear His voice. The wind was blowing. They were sweating and grunting. But they heard Him. And the Lord help us to be in tune to His voice and to hear Him say, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And then to react in the way that would receive Him, because that passage of Scripture says He would have passed them by. He would have gone on walking on the water. But they wanted Him aboard. And thank God the Lord can come to us just as He came to the disciples in that ship in the storm and pretty drastic circumstances. But the Lord was there and He can minister to us as well. Praise God. He showed up for the showdown. And that's what the Lord does for us. Praise God. And, you know, just a number of situations that we can refer to in the Bible because there's lots of adversity. I think about Elisha and how the enemy was coming against Israel. And Elisha knew what was going on, and he would tell the captain of the Israeli army what was happening, and the king of Syria got real upset. Who is there, a spy among us? Who keeps telling the Israelites what we're going to do? And one of the servants said, there's a prophet named Elisha. How did he know that? How had Elisha's reputation gone before him in that way? Well, remember there was a leper named Naaman who dunked himself 7 times in the muddy Jordan River, and his skin was made like a little baby's. I don't think that story got lost anywhere in the annals of Syrian history. I think that servant was aware. There's a prophet. Well, let's go get him, the captain says. And so they found out he was at Dothan, and they went and surrounded the city. Well, when the servant woke up and he saw the encroaching armies surrounding the city, I mean, they were serious. They didn't just send a platoon out or a company, whatever the numbers are. They surrounded the city. It was a huge contingent that was against them. Obviously, he became very frightened. Oh, Lord, what are we going to do? Elisha said, fear not. Then he began to pray. And his prayer was not banish the enemy, fry them to cinders. No, he didn't pray that. He said, Lord, open my servant's eyes. And when the servant's eyes were opened, in the spiritual sense, he saw an even greater host. And Elisha was able to say, there be more with us than be with them. Praise God. And I'm thankful that there can be that recognition in the spiritual realm again and again of how the Lord's power is available in every circumstance, in every need. Because the Bible says, casting some of your care on him, casting a few of your cares on him, casting all your care. Praise God. That's, not just the small ones. Casting all of them. Not just the big ones. Cast the small ones too. Casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. Praise God. I think that's a good truth for us to hold on to. And certainly prayer in adversity is a good thing. When I was studying, I thought of Jonah. Talk about prayer in adversity. He's in the belly, and there's seaweed and slime, and just a nasty place. And he begins to cry out when he's in the belly of the whale. Now, he's the one who put himself there. He's the one who messed up. He's the one who is running from the presence of God. He's the one who went down to Joppa. He went down in the ship, and he went down in the ocean in the belly of the whale. By his choice, that's where he ended up. But God heard his prayer. Oh, and by the way, he was being very disobedient because the Lord told him, go to Nineveh and preach. And so, oh my goodness, here he is vomited out on the beach. What a sight. And what a preacher that would come into Nineveh and journey a day and a half in a huge city. And he looks a sight, my goodness. And I can't imagine the smell. But he's preaching. And all of Nineveh repents. Now, it makes Jonah mad. He still has a bad attitude. It's terrible. But God answered the prayers. Answered Jonah's prayer for deliverance. Answered the prayers of Nineveh from the king on down. Who repented and asked the Lord for deliverance. Praise God. I'm thankful in the circumstances. In other words, the prayer doesn't have to be picture perfect in a beautiful cathedral with organ music playing softly in the background and the choir humming kumbaya and so on. You know, it just, it desperation. And a cry for deliverance. Praise God. The Lord is able to step in those aspects of adversity and bring deliverance. Praise God. And I'm thankful for that. Now, Jonah was upset that the people weren't going to be punished. And he wanted them punished, the people of Nineveh, because of the way they treated the Israelites. Terrible things that they did in warfare and in conquering. So he wanted them punished. That's why he didn't want to preach to them, because he knew God's merciful. And he would bring a change. Now Habakkuk kind of struggles with this same thing. He kind of wonders, God, why are the wicked doing okay? And those of us who are trying to serve you are suffering such adversity. That seems upside down, God. What's going on here? And he struggles with that, just like we do sometimes. Why do the wicked have such a wonderful time and everything going well and increasing their riches at the same time that they're increasing their wicked works, and nothing seems to go wrong? And here we are trying to live our best for the Lord, and sickness hits us, and financial problems and car accidents and lots of different things that would come our way. Why is that? Well, it's almost like Habakkuk answers his own question when he says, the just shall live by faith. Now, he doesn't say it. The Lord gives him that statement. The just shall live by faith. And that became such a strong statement that Martin Luther would grab a hold of it, and the Reformation movement, the Renaissance movement, Reformation, would begin. It's not by works. It's not by paying indulgences and all of that kind of stuff. It's faith. And that message is repeated several times in the New Testament. Romans, Galatians, Hebrews, the just shall live by faith. Praise God. And in other words, faith is going to justify you. Faith is going to bring you into the presence of God. Faith is going to acquire what you need from God. Faith is going to bring salvation. Amen. And thank God, that's the power that we know. Habakkuk 2 and 4 was written hundreds of years before the Apostle Paul and whoever penned Hebrews would quote it and make reference to it. But thank God, the just shall live by his faith. And that's what we believe today, that the Lord would provide that blessing and that strength. And now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we struggle with that. We're used to, you know, grabbing a hold of things and people, and we want something tangible, something that's invisible, something that's intangible. We kind of, you have to make the transition of naturalize to spiritualize and see the hand of the Lord. And because the Old Testament has instance after instance of that taking place, and because we know by our experience how powerful the Lord is to minister through our faith, we want to keep believing. We want to keep holding on. Amen. He's the one who knows the end from the beginning. I love Isaiah 46:10 because of the truth that is there. His counsel is going to stand. And so my trust, my faith is going to be in him. So Habakkuk, as we see at the end of his writing, he chooses to rejoice. In the face of adversity, in the face of great loss, in a future that is very uncertain, he chooses to rejoice. Now, we know from Philippians that Paul states, rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. And he's writing from a Roman prison. Not the most comfortable accommodations. Not something that he had any reason to rejoice in. He just decided, I'm going to rejoice in these circumstances. Now, why then would Paul write in Romans 12:15, rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep? Why would he write that? If the overwhelming response is to be rejoicing, why would he say, weep with them that weep? Brother Greg? All right, that phrase, one another, is seen multiple times. You ought to look it up sometime and see how often that occurs in Paul's writings. One another. And his command, bear one another's burdens. Very strong. Amen. Sister Phoebe. There's empathy because we've been there. There's compassion because we understand. It's not a pity party that's being spread around. We're not talking about that. We're talking about understanding that there's pain, there's hurt, there's heartbreak. And that's why Proverbs 25 and 20, you know, it's getting cold out. And you're not going to go and steal somebody's winter coat and laugh about it. Adding vinegar to baking soda produces a pretty strong reaction, and it ruins the baking soda and it ruins the vinegar. I guess you can clean. I saw last night that's how you clean pans that are really have stains on them from heat and baking and so on. Have to give that a try, I guess. But the scripture is saying to sing songs to someone with a heavy heart. That's like taking the coat from someone who is cold. And that's like adding vinegar to baking soda. In other words, there's a time for weeping. There's a time for mourning. And we don't, you know, again, Ecclesiastes would probably say that, and all the different time situations that he's talking about there. But, oh my goodness, there's, you know, we're not God. We're very human. And I'm thankful God is faithful. But there are times that tears can be a cleansing. Tears can be a relief. Tears can be a valve to let stress out. And so weep with them that weep. And don't sing songs to someone with a heavy heart. You know, but let it be short-lived, obviously, and remember the blessings of God. Remember the power of the Lord and courage in that way. But being lighthearted, being, you know, oh, come on, you shouldn't be that way. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And we rely on that. But there's still some value in weeping with them that weep.
According to this reference on Overview Bible, over at least 50 times Paul wrote the phrase
one another. Over 50 times. Aren't you glad for one another? Amen. Amen. And there are those times when we will weep together. And there are lots of times that we will rejoice together. Praise God. But we're not going to despise one over the other. We're not going to value one over the other. And I'm thankful that there's an emphasis on the positive and the one another aspect that's there. Praise God. But I'm thankful that the Lord can lead us to rejoicing. Amen. And be strengthened in the Lord. I will rejoice in the Lord, Habakkuk says. 3 and 18. I will joy in the God of my salvation. He's willing himself to do that because the outward circumstances certainly do not lend themselves to, oh my, I've got a bumper crop this year. Oh my, look at, we've got two calves for every cow and, you know, that sort of thing. No, it was completely the opposite. But he was saying, I will. And I think that's a good reaction. Because so often the devil wants us to just say, well, if God doesn't answer my prayer, I will go do something stupid. We don't say it in those terms directly, but we slide into the realm of not having the blessing of the Lord and moving into just trying to create situations of on our own, of our own making. And obviously that adds to the turmoil. But praise is a way to victory. How often have we seen that in the Old Testament? Jericho, they're going around the walls 6 days, and on the seventh day, on the last day, they went around more times than all previous 6 days. It's kind of a message for us in the last days. Pour it on. Don't back up. Don't retreat. Don't let yourself get backed into the corner. Just do more than you ever have, because these are the last days. And the walls came down because they shouted with a great shout. Jehoshaphat heard the message from the prophet. Trust in the Lord. Believe in the Lord. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's, and so on. So what did he do? He put praisers and singers out in front. And God set ambushments against the enemy, and they began fighting among themselves. Confusion and chaos, because the Lord protected his people. Praise can lead to victory. Amen. And thank God we can move into that realm. And here's that passage that the old preacher had somebody read for him from Habakkuk 3:19. He will make my feet to be like hinds' feet. And the reader mispronounced it. He said hen's feet. And the old preacher thought he said hens. And so he started preaching. Chicken foot religion. Got to be strong like that chicken. He actually preached this. It sits on the roost. It's got three toes holding forward and one to keep from going back. The wind will blow. The rains will come, but that chicken holds on. You got to have chicken foot religion. I kid you not, that was an actual message. Praise God. But he makes our feet like hinds' feet. In other words, that deer that can outrun its prey, the deer that can scent water and pant after the water brook, like David said, and so on, the care of the Lord and the blessing that we can have as we put our trust in God. Okay, problems are going to come. We know that. We've been through a lot of them. But problems, we need to look at them in as positive a light as possible and understand problems present opportunities. You have an opportunity to complain and really get discouraged, or you have an opportunity to trust God and see how the Lord's going to work it out. Because all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. God has a purpose. Amen. We may not see it right out, But there's an opportunity to see what God's going to do. Amen. Maturity develops. You know, not just experience. You can have lots of experiences, but not develop a whole lot of maturity from them. But a maturity that comes from the experiences that God brings our way. And that can be a matter of prayer. Oh, God, help me to get something out of this that's going to benefit me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to be mature and not be infantile, to grow. Sometimes problems can prove your integrity, just to show what you're made of, to show that your feet are on the foundation of truth, to show that you're going to react with praise to the Lord. That's what problems can do. Problems produce a sense of dependence. I'm going to depend on the Lord. I'm going to depend on one another. Mm-hmm. Praise God. There's a reason that's in there 50 times. It's not blame one another. It's not fight with one another. Not complain about one another. I doubt there are any of those passages. Anything like that, Brother Greg? No, none. It's all love one another. Bear one another's burden. Help one another. Rejoice with one another. Praise God. And that's what we can do. A sense of dependence on one another, and certainly a sense of dependence on the Lord. And it makes us have empathy. It makes us understand that there are situations that that we face, and that the Lord has brought us through, and He will bring you through. Praise God. And not in a belittling sense. Maybe this is that weep with them that weep. Not in a, this is nothing. God's going to bring you through. Yes, it is something. It's hurtful. It's painful. It's heartbreaking. And we have empathy as a result. But I like 2 Corinthians 1 and 4. And we'll end with this verse, 2 Corinthians 1 and 4, where comfort is what is offered again and again. Someone get 2 Corinthians 1 and 4 for me here real quick, please. And the comfort that we are comforted by, oh, there it is on the screen, okay, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. There again, it's not just some. It's not just God can only handle the small things. He can't handle the big things. No, it's all our tribulation that we may be able, there's divine ability that God gives us, to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Comfort appears there four times because He's the comforter. Because He's the one who provides for us. He's the one who ministers to us. Praise God. So let's look. I said that would be the last one. Sorry. Let's look at the end of Habakkuk. And look at the reality of what he is dealing with there. In your scripture lesson, Habakkuk 3, 17, 18, 19. Although the fig tree shall not blossom. He's going through the situations here that he's facing. Neither shall fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. He's really speaking of a disaster here. A disaster of immense proportions. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. And the writer says, this is the only place that Lord God appears outside of the Psalms. The only time that Yahweh Adonai is made mention here. The Lord God is my strength. So he's making a strong identification here. And he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Praise God. I'm not going to stop worshiping. I'm not going to stop praising. I'm not going to stop lifting up the name of the Lord. I'm still going to identify with him. I'm still going to hold on to him. Amen. Yahweh Adonai is who I put my trust in. Thank God that that's our faith, our belief. Amen. All right. Prayer today. Please continue to hold the Wades up in prayer. And Sister Stella, Sister Marianne, Brother Steve, Brother Greg, you know, just these ongoing needs here. I'm thankful that others of you are well and doing better. Sister Esther has got some procedures coming up. We want the Lord to bring her through those situations in Jesus' name. Praise God. The Eichards' wedding next week. Many traveling for that. Pray the Lord will keep them safe. Sister Sherry's still traveling. The Bartletts are traveling. When are the Bartletts due back? Monday? Tomorrow. Okay, so we want God to keep them safe. Praise God. And we already prayed for Thomas and Levi and Ivan. And, hold them up in Jesus' name. Sister Arlene. Pray that God will touch her. Amen. Other needs. Let's stand. In Jesus' name. Father.